This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three rolling along on a Friday to you, getting you set for the weekend. As we've been talking NBA Finals, we've got some NFL to get to later on in this hour, as we'll just kind of bounce around the league a little bit. There were the mandatory OTAs for some teams as they do all that up. And then next month, of course, at the end of the month is training camp. So we're going to talk to Matt Lombardo of Heavy.com on some NFL news, including who wants Dalvin Cook and where is DeAndre Hopkins going to land?
I would take Dalvin.
I'll take Dalvin Cook, absolutely.
I don't know about Hopkins.
Absolutely. Hopkins, I take or leave it kind of if he visited my local team and didn't sign, I wouldn't lose sleep over it. Dalvin Cook, though, could be very effective.
Could be a game changer.
I saw a clip of the media was trying to get Mike McDaniel in Miami to say something about Dalvin Cook, and he didn't take the bait, which was really cool. He went the long way around of basically saying, I wasn't born yesterday.
Right.
So he was asked about it, and he said, I give you this date, and he gives a date. And somebody in the crowd knew it was his birthday, which was kind of cool. He goes, yeah, it's my birthday. And he goes, and they, yeah, that's my birthday. And the last time I checked, it wasn't yesterday. A long way around it. But yeah, he made the point, like, I'm not getting caught up in this. I can't get caught up in this. But so I'm not going to.
I've heard rumors that there is mutual interest. And the only thing I was thinking of was, like, that would make – I almost want to say that would make the Dolphins a favorite.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you,
the one thing they really need.
They might be – it might be neck and neck between those two teams anyway with Buffalo.
Healthy, we got to say healthy Tua.
Healthy Tua.
Healthy Tua.
In a division with Aaron Rodgers now in the Jets and Buffalo just continuing to be Buffalo, they still might be just – right on the edge of being better than the favorites in that division.
With possibly Madden curse happening in Buffalo?
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely.
I hope
with Josh
not.
Allen on the cover.
Hate to see it happen, but...
No, I would hate to see it happen. That's like my sentimental team that I'm kind of pulling for, just because I know that they've been dying. They got hit hard, man. They got hit hard. They went through four Super Bowls where they lost all four, and then they were basically irrelevant.
Yeah.
From that point, when all those guys started leaving, they were basically irrelevant forever. Forever. And then they finally started, like, all right, we got into the playoffs. Now we play. And then they got Josh Allen and they got better. And they played in the AFC title game. And then they lost in the divisional game.
And they got Diggs on a weird trade. It was like, whoa, how did that happen?
They got the right coach in Sean McDermott. Yeah. They tried the Rex Ryan thing.
Good defense.
Doug Marone, I think, was up there, too.
They've built their defense, brought the Bills' defense back to where it was.
Yeah, it wasn't like all these
little things. And
it wasn't like Denver. Like, Denver lost Elway and the Broncos because they had lost one before, but Elway and the Broncos had lost three in, like, a four-year period. And that was pretty devastating.
Yeah.
But at least by the time Elway was done, he gave the city back-to-back Super Bowl championships. Buffalo went to lost four straight, and then didn't appear in the playoffs for a long time. Then they really disappeared. So that fan base is the second smallest market that the NFL has, is Buffalo. You know, Green Bay is one, and Buffalo is two. And this is the cool thing. This new stadium they're building is got a no relocation clause in it, which is great. Like, if you're going to publicly fund any stadium, they should be like, and you can never leave. So we're not going to be off the hook for this stadium when you decide to go somewhere else. But they're building this new stadium. It's going to have natural grass because they still use the field turf there. Now, I have to say, there's going to be a canopy that's going to protect a lot of the fans from the weather, which feels like it feels like cheating a little bit. Like, doesn't it? But I ask this question, if Lambeau Field were to be rebuilt, would they do the exact same thing? Or do you think people in Green Bay would say, oh, no. If they're in the weather, I'm in the weather. If they're on the sidelines in the snow and the muck, I'm sitting in the stands in the snow and the muck. Because Buffalo, I feel like with the canopy, it's like, it's not quite a dome, but
right,
you can come and be comfortable. Or are they just getting sick and tired of having 9 feet of snow dump on them and everybody has to go to the stadium to shovel it out?
Well, not only that, or you have to make a decision. Are we playing a home game Detroit today,
right,
or you know, do we get to stay in Buffalo?
Right, exactly.
Because that would get annoying. That's annoying, too.
Yeah, so.
But it will be weird. I mean, I hope, if you're going to do it, do a retractable dome, please, Buffalo. And if you can, and if you know the snowstorm's not going to be intense and you know, apocalyptic, keep the roof open.
Well, it's not a roof. Yeah, they're not. Well, they don't have a roof.
You know, remove the canopy.
Remove the canopy. Yeah. So it's still going to be an open stadium. People have wondered if the NFL would have a Super Bowl there. The NFL is never having a Super Bowl there.
They'll do a draft. That's your compensation, guys.
I cannot stress this enough. They are never going to a cold weather city again unless this is the only caveat to that. There was some sort of inner workings that got a deal done for a major stadium. Like, they were very invested, given that their home base is in New York. They were very invested in a new Meadowlands stadium for the Giants and the Jets. So there was back and forth workings on how much of this will come from public funding, and we'll give you a Super Bowl. But when they gave the city of New York a Super Bowl for that stadium, there was this real conversation of like, well, now this opens up Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, New England, places like this to have cold weather Super Bowls. No, it did not. It was just a backdoor deal to say, look, help us with this. We'll give the city a Super Bowl. Great. It's like Jacksonville. Jacksonville went through renovations in their city to help build the stadium. Jacksonville is apparently getting a new place. They're going to work on getting a new place. But the stadium that they play in now, they got it renovated. They used funding for that. They gave them Super Bowl 39. They said, here you go. Here's a Super Bowl. They haven't gone back. They haven't gone back to Jacksonville. And they're not going to. They're not going back to New York. They're not going to New England. They're not going to Cincinnati. They're not going to Cleveland. They're not going to – you're right. You're going to get the draft, but you're never going to get its biggest game. They are never putting a Super Bowl in Buffalo. I loved people on Twitter and one columnist wrote about this possibility. You think that they're going to go to a place where it could have 10 feet of snow on any given day in the month of January or February? Are you insane? Like, they're not doing that again. No chance. If it was domed, they might, but even that, the weather patterns there are crazy. They don't want what happened at the Pontiac Silverdome. They liked it in Detroit, but the Pontiac Silverdome in Super Bowl 16, where the buses were sliding all over the ice, trying to get the teams to that stadium, and fans were parking and slipping and sliding all over the place, they don't want that. They want it in the sun. They want activities outdoors. They want all that. If it is cold in Atlanta, let's say, when it's Super Bowl week, they don't mind. You know where they love to be honest with you? New Orleans. They love New Orleans. They love it. It's a party city. It's a great event. They love New Orleans. Houston, L.A., Miami, Tampa, they love these places. They love it. Arizona, Phoenix, they love these places. They love these places. They love it where they can be some golf. They can be sun, outdoor things, outdoor concerts, all of that
they
stuff.
Would, and if they could get a stadium, that they would move it back to San Diego in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Look, and don't get me wrong. They went to Detroit. They went to Minnesota. If you're a dome stadium, they're going to come to Nashville.
And they'll come to you again.
They'll fine. But they love the outdoor stuff. Love the outdoor stuff where it's sunny and nice and people can fun things.
That they can do the whole NFL experience and just have that be a huge park outside, you know, close to the stadium or close to the wherever the media row is and stuff like that. They're going to do that.
Yeah, but you better have a dome if you're going to do that. If you have an outdoor stadium, they're not going back anymore. Yeah. Never going back anymore.
Canopy won't work either.
Yeah, the canopy won't work either. But yeah, again, but if I'm a Buffalo fan and I grew up in Western New York and I've lived in that stuff my whole life, I don't think I want to sit in comfort during a football game.
No.
I'd be like, wait a minute, no, I don't want to sit. If it's snowing, I want the snow on me. I want to be a part of. Like, you see those fans when it's snowing, how happy they are? They're thrilled. They're like, this is what this is about. When you want to talk home field, home city advantage, this is what we're talking about. All of us are in this together. This is what we're talking about. The snow, it's cold, it's freezing. Now, there is too cold. I will be honest with you. There is such thing as too cold. Like the freezer bowl. Yeah. I went to a game at Giant Stadium where it was freezing. I thought I was going to die. It's like,
well, then you remember the game. It was a Giants Packers where Tom Coughlin's face almost melted off.
Melted
froze
off.
Froze off of him.
I think there's a limitation no matter where you live where you could go, all right.
No, but Buffalo,
too,
you can't.
A little too chilly.
Like you said, Buffalo, you can't think that you're ever going to get a Super Bowl. And you're fine with that.
But when they get the draft, because Green Bay is going to be that test city, like a small market, right? Like, hey, look, we're not a big city. We're a city, but
I still love the visual though that you painted with Green Bay getting the draft,
like Woodstock.
Yeah, it's just people just walking.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Yeah, totally.
Just people walking from all walks. I've ditched their cars somewhere back, you know, at mile 5.
Yeah,
heading into towards.
I've been walking since Madison. Hitchhiked from Eau Claire to get here. Yeah, completely.
It's a free draft. Just letting you all know, it's a free draft from here on out.
From here on out. Exactly. Love it. I love Buffalo, by the way. If Green Bay is Woodstock in the 60s, Buffalo could be Woodstock in the 90s.
Yes.
Things just on fire, burning down, just complete and utter chaos. Nobody knows who they are, where they are.
No table is safe.
No table is safe. People going, where am I? I don't even know how to get home. Yeah, complete and utter, you know, Limp Bizkit is going, get me the hell out of here. This is a waste of time. Get me out of here. What's wrong with you? All of that, yeah. Buffalo and Green Bay, I would love the draft. I can't wait for the draft in both of those cities. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Matt Lombardo is going to join us at the bottom of the hour from Heavy.com. We'll talk some NFL with him, a little summertime NFL. Listen, Mr. San Diego, I got a question. I got a story for you. So Phil Mickelson, with his newfound amazing Uber wealth, is buying up all the real estate in Rancho Santa Fe, baby. He's apparently buying 21 acres to build his dream compound in Rancho Santa Fe. And he's doing it for a cost of $70 million.
Yeah.
This is what happens, folks, when you learn to putt. You know, if you can putt really well, this is what can happen for you. You can buy real estate in one of the most gorgeous pieces of property in the United States, in one of the most desirable cities in the United States.
I used to work in Rancho Santa Fe. And there was a house on a hill, and that was touted to be the most expensive house in San Diego. And I think the price at that time, this is early 2000s, was $21, $22 million.
Wow. It's going to be $100 million today.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a nice house.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It had this, it was like a 270-degree view of the ocean.
I'm going to read this story from, I think it's the Associated Press. It's in the New York Post, but I think the AP wrote it. Located in upscale Rancho Santa Fe, the American pro golfer is no stranger to the area, grew up in California, played golf at San Diego. He bought his first home in Rancho Santa Fe for $6 million in 2001. He later sold it for a loss at $5.7 million in 2015, but he has a net worth of $875 million. Yay, live! So now he's buying all sorts of property, houses and whatnot, to build this huge complex. Now, the way they've got it is that there's a piece of land that he could get the whole corner, but the one piece of land he can't quite get yet. The price has not been reached, but he does plan to up it. This is Mickelson's way of building. I don't know what would you build on this on 21 acres in Rancho Santa Fe, California. I mean, a golf course?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, I think that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably looks at Tiger's house. He's probably been to Tiger's house.
Yeah.
And he's jealous.
Hell, I'm getting this. Yeah.
Because what Tiger doesn't, it's three holes, right?
He's got like three full holes, and then he also has got like a separate putting green and
right. But with those, wasn't it weird? Like something weird, like it's three holes, but if you hit from different places, it's almost like a nine-hole course.
Yeah, you can make it. a nine-hole course depending on where you hit on the property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Phil's just doing that. It's like, I want the same thing.
I heard Phil had a whole driving practice facility at his house now. I mean, they say he's gone there. He's got fences that he can hit shots
you know
into.
What? I mean, he's probably an expert at it now.
You know,
you need to change it up, Tony.
Maybe you need to change it up a little bit. Now, so help me out with this, because here's the way I'm envisioning life for Phil, and maybe you can shed light. Maybe it's different. So this is the paragraph in the article. The desirable Rancho Santa Fe Covenant has so much to offer: world-class golf and tennis clubs, top-rated schools, charming village with shopping and dining, walking, riding trails, high-speed internet fiber that's just minutes to world-class golden beaches and a major freeways, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So is Phil Mickelson just like waking up, getting in a golf cart, boogieing down to the little village where like the coffee shop is, and little maybe grabbing a little sandwich, maybe some coffee? Him and his wife kind of boogie down there to the little Italian restaurant and just maybe walking around, and like there's a little purse shop, and there's a little ice gelato store, and they just go, oh, and let's get back in the golf cart and go back up to the houses that are on top of the hill.
The way Rancho Santa Fe looks and the way it's situated is, if you're kind of familiar with San Diego, you got to look at San Diego as like a big, big thing, right? All the way from Oceanside down to the border. Okay. This is right off of Del Mar. And Del Mar is, you know, a very ritzy, glamour place. Homes on the beach are amazing. That's where the Del Mar racetrack is. And Rancho Santa Fe kind of is in this little valley. So it's the temperature there, I mean, it does get hot, but it always gets that cool ocean breeze.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the perfect temperature. And the village itself, Rancho Santa Fe Village, is really just an intersection.
Oh, okay.
But it's all full of high-end stores and shops and stuff like that. Parking is terrible, but a lot of residents there will drive golf carts around.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I'm envisioning, like this
little
community.
They'll drive their golf cart over there.
Phil and Amy are like walking around, like, hi, Phil, what's up, Amy, how you doing? And yeah, we got that meeting tomorrow with the PTA. Yeah, I know, I'll be there.
And I guarantee most of the residents there are, you know, if you're an outside visitor, you might stare and gawk. If you're a resident of that area, you don't care. Because
staring gawk at what?
Staring like, you know, be in awe. Like, oh, my God, there's Phil Mickelson. Oh, should we walk up?
Oh, yeah. No, that happens here in Franklin. Yeah.
Probably with the country music stars, right? But the residents there, it's a lot of it's old money.
Sure it
and
is.
And they're just like, whatever. You know, Phil, you know, I still have more money than you, Phil. You know, that type of attitude.
Well, that's the whole thing about when you're in that sort of environment. You're not awestruck because you're a titan of what you do, just like he's a titan of what he does.
And you're all at the same functions. You know what I mean? You get invited to the same gala.
Exactly. You're all together.
Like,
he's
like
very good at golf.
Yeah.
I'm very good at tech.
Exactly.
Or I'm a defense contractor sales guy. Well, whatever it is that makes you millions and millions of dollars.
Like I've said to you before, I mean, I worked at a school in Rancho Santa Fe. That's what I did. And my clientele ranged from all over the place. It was from athletes to the founder of Panda Express to someone who was one of the Moors that owned the Chargers or the Padres back in the day.
Sure.
The owner of the Chargers, Spanos, you know, had a kid who went there. I even had worked at the school and Gerald Ford's grandson went there.
Yeah, right.
So it's just this wide range of you don't even know who could it be.
This is what the larger picture of this, and we know that, like, you know, hey, Phil made money on Live, but Phil was rich anyway. This is what Harold Varner was talking about.
Yes.
Like, this is the kind of stuff Harold Varner was talking about. I was like, look, I could be on the PGA Tour and I could get hurt and I could, and my money could run out. But with Live, my grandkids get to live in a place like this. Like, any of these communities around the country, we could live in these communities, very, very uber wealthy communities. For generations with the kind of money that I was getting from Liv. That's what he was talking about, right? I mean, the Mickelsons might be in Rancho Santa Fe for 10 generations, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? It's like this thing, this compound, it's going to be worth $1 billion someday. Like, when you know, it's going to be extremely wealthy. It's pretty awesome. But go back to what I was saying earlier. Again, The Live PGA Tour merger that happened earlier this week is still got to be worked out. They have to work out all the details and figure out what it is. But when they do, I haven't been on the side of Live. I kind of I kind of was like, I hated the whole concept of breaking up the tour. But I will say, I am 100% supportive of every single one of those golfers keeping every nickel that is owed to them.
Yeah. That's kind of been the rhetoric, right? It hasn't been really like, oh, for shame on these guys. Like, you know, they made a business. I was watching this video yesterday of Chesson Hadley. You know,
right.
I mean, he's not a well-known guy. You know, I mean, he probably has a couple, you know, I don't even know where he's ranked. I think he's ranked in the top 100, but he's, you know, had some top finishes, but he's not, no one knows of him. And he says that, you know, he came out and said that he can't blame the LIV guys. They made a business decision that worked for them.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know, but at the same time, he's like, I hope to get some sort of compensation out of my loyalty.
Sure.
And I don't even know what that is because, you know, I'm sorry, the PGA does not have the billions of dollars that the Saudis were able to give LIV.
Right.
And it just, my heart almost goes out to some of these guys that turned down six figures.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, yeah. I do too.
Nine figures.
Taylor Gooch. That was one. One guy was saying, oh, you know, these guys on LIV, they only care about playing in the majors, you know, whatnot. And I thought, Taylor Gooch can't play in the majors. Taylor Gooch doesn't have a green jacket. Yeah. Taylor Gooch is not a guy that has a lifetime exemption to the British Open and the U.S. Open and the PGA. He's a guy that does, you know, yes, Dustin Johnson has won a Masters, Patrick Reed, Sergio. They all know their place at Augusta. They'll always get invited to Augusta. And then some of the guys recently won majors, so they have this exemption for X amount of years. But there is nothing on LIV that allowed a golfer like Taylor Gooch to earn enough points or credibility to get into the majors. And they did it anyway.
Wasn't he the one anyway.
So good for them if they wanted to take a chance on their career like that.
Like, he was the one at the center of the controversy, right? That he had done everything to make the U.S. Open.
Right, right.
I think it was the U.S. Open, but then the U.S. Open said, well, we added this thing. And
yeah,
that
right.
kind of exempts him now.
Yeah.
Or prohibits him from being able to play. I don't know. It's just, I can't. I'm like, I'm with you. I can't fault LIV guys at this point. And I never did. It was a pure business decision that they made.
Exactly. And so, again, if a fine is coming, you just say, I'm not giving you back money. You're not getting the money back.
Yeah.
Because you're taking Saudi money, and now you want to take my money that's coming from them and giving it right back to you to be a part of a tour you created, not me. No, Rory is not getting this. Rory is not getting this as part of the deal. They will legalize this thing, and they're not going to come up with a way where these guys are going to pay a hefty fine to get back on the PGA Tour. At least I don't think so.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, working on Matt Lombardo, Heavy.com, talking some NFL. Like I was saying, two people that are in the news right now. Here we are in June, some OTA workouts. Dalvin Cook will be released by the Minnesota Vikings, and he'll be looking for a new landing spot. DeAndre Hopkins has been released by Arizona. He's now visiting some teams. He was at the Tennessee Titans, I want to say, Wednesday, and then he was going to be visiting the Patriots. So he's been bouncing around looking for a new home as well. So we'll talk to him about those two things and then just get a feel for this league. Look, we've been talking about this as the AFC has started to grow in prominence. Like, there are the players the teams that we know that are going to be good. Now, who will be kicking around sort of trying to get into a party that's very, very, very crowded? The Jets are trying to do that. Why they got Aaron Rodgers is because, again, the rooms are at the top. It is getting to be a crowded field. I mean, you used to go around and used to say, all right, who do you think is going to win? Beginning of the season, there was always like one or two teams in each conference that were sort of the predicted dominant team. Now, it may not always play out that way, but you would always go, all right, who do you like? And then for years it was, you know, the Patriots and the Broncos, or the Steelers and the Patriots, or Indianapolis and the Patriots, or it was Kansas City, and right? Now you go and you can go around and you can say, who do you think's going to win the AFC? And you'll get some Buffalo Bills people, Cincinnati Bengals people, Kansas City Chiefs people. There's now a feeling like maybe it'll be Miami. Miami's really, really looking good. So it's a fun time to be in the AFC. It's not a fun time if you're a team like Denver that's got Russell Wilson coming off a terrible season and a brand new head coach in Sean Payton, where it may be just too much to ask that they put something together to be one of the elite teams in the AFC this year. Because even if they were to catch Kansas City on a bad year, right? Let's just say it just all starts coming apart for Kansas City for whatever reason. You're still talking about a conference that's got Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Josh Allen and the Bills and Tua and the Dolphins with everybody they have. And now Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, and Jacksonville may be tough. And even in your own division, Justin Herbert and the Chargers might be a team that is like, all right, fine. If there is some opening at the top, we'll be more than happy to take it too. So if you are a Steelers or a Broncos or a Titans where you've had some recent success, where you're coming off a playoff run or something, or in the case of the Titans, they made it to the AFC title game just a few years ago, and then it just doesn't feel like you're in the same class as other teams in the AFC. The NFC, I'm looking forward to seeing the NFC play out, because I'm not 100% sure if there is a guarantee in the NFC, right? Like, it's maybe outside of the Eagles. I'm not sure that there is a team where I can just go, you know, in the end, I absolutely count on this team to do it. I will tell you one team that if I was a betting guy, I would bet on making the playoffs, and that's the Lions. I know that last season is last season, and sometimes your year doesn't go the way it's projected. But a 9-8 finish to a year that didn't start off well, I love the Lions going in. But the Vikings won 13 games last year. Still, not sure yet. Cowboys won 12 games last year. I don't know yet. Right? I mean, you look around, you go, you don't know what the Buccaneers are going to look like now that Tom Brady's gone. You have no idea how the division is going to shape up. It's the weakest division in all of sports. I mean, seriously, anybody from that division could win this thing because nobody is strong and nobody's on top. Bryce Young will be the starting quarterback in Carolina. The Saints are going with Derek Carr, but we don't know what that will look like. Atlanta's going to stay with Desmond Ridder. No idea. And it looks like Baker Mayfield is going to be the quarterback in Tampa Bay. He's on his fourth team in his career now. I loved Baker's story. Baker's story was interesting last year. He goes from Cleveland to Carolina, and he's going to battle with Sam Darnold in camp. And the consensus in camp last summer was they loved him. Right? They loved him. They loved him more. And so he gets job. Darnold's hurt anyway, and they got a hurt rookie player in Matt Corral. So they're not going to use him. So it's Baker Mayfield. He stinks. But then he goes to the Rams, and he has like two good games. For the Rams, like two good games. And now he's with Tampa Bay, and I think people kind of forgot he's there, right? He's the guy that's going to follow the guy, right? Mac Jones was the first guy that followed the guy, and now Baker Mayfield is the second guy that has to follow the guy. But it's a division where, you know, 8-9 won it last year. I have no idea. And then maybe the 49ers are the other guarantee. So there's Philadelphia and 49ers. But the 49ers, they don't have a quarterback right now, right? They're saying they love Sam Darnold. How many times have you heard that? How many times have people loved Sam Darnold? It happened twice in New York. It happened his rookie year, and then there was one year where he was looking really good in workouts. I'll remember that because there were a couple of prominent media members that were so caught up in the development of Darnold that they really did think the Jets were going to make the playoffs. And then in Carolina, it was, oh, well, you know, Sam Darnold's getting a rebirth.
Real quick, were those media members the same that lost their minds over, why am I blanking on the kid's name already?
Zach Wilson,
thank
you. Might have been, yeah.
I was thinking Luke for whatever reason. I was like, yeah,
might have been.
It's not Luke Wilson.
Might have been. So the 49ers have Darnold and Trey Lance. So I can't count on them to be like a double-digit win season. And I mean, they've got everything great around them, and you may not need a good quarterback.
No, you may just...
You may not.
Just need a game manager.
They've got a phenomenal defense. They've got great offensive weapons. You might just need a guy that just is like, hey, don't worry about it. They're not asking me to do a lot of things. Get the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Get the ball to Deebo Samuel. That's all I really have to do. So maybe that's the case. So the Eagles and the 49ers, that's about it. That's the only thing. Those are the only two teams I can guarantee will probably have some great success. AFC, holy cow, it's too deep. Way too deep. Bills, Bengals, Dolphins, Jets with Aaron Rodgers, Baltimore. Baltimore might have an unstoppable offense, for crying out loud. I mean, who knows what Baltimore might do, right? By the way, I'm now voting. When we do in 6 months, or maybe what, 4 or 5 months now, we get to the end of the year when we talk about all the big stories in the end of the year. Is the Lamar Jackson contract dispute the most underwhelming story we've had so far in the NFL in 2023?
Yeah, that could be.
Like, literally went nowhere. Like, we thought it was going to blow up, explode, messy, problematic.
He was going to go somewhere else.
Right, he was going to end up with somebody who wants to trade for him. Nobody, right? Who was calling the Ravens?
At the end of the day, the Ravens went, here's our contract. Lamar goes, okay.
That's okay. All right. I got you. Yeah, completely. That was like a big deal for a while. That was like all of March.
You know, I mean, did it take an assist from the Eagles?
Maybe so. Maybe so, yeah. When Jalen Hurts got his deal and then they realized, you know what, Lamar? Writing's on the wall, my man. You're not getting a fully guaranteed contract. So go home and process what Jalen Hurts, who just went to a Super Bowl, is getting. Come back to us with something more reasonable. And then that was it. Then they came up with something more reasonable.
You know what's funny? I guess a Super Bowl appearance, I'm asking this to you. Does a Super Bowl appearance weigh more than an NFL MVP?
That's a good question. I think it does. I think it does.
Because he didn't win it. So it's just an appearance.
Yeah. I think it does, because I think in the end it's a results-oriented business in terms of what you've done for, like, the organization, what the organization has gotten out of it. And I think that if you're an organization that is dealing in a contract negotiation and you can point in there's a similarity between you and the quarterback over there, but that quarterback is went to a Super Bowl and you have not, and they're getting X, you might do better, but you're not going to get X exponentially. Like, you're not going to get something way out of the realm that he got. Like, that's the way Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson, and this is not his fault. This might have been the media's fault. Okay. Because Lamar didn't talk a lot about this. It was more like the media was kind of saying things about him, but he had the appearance of somebody wanting to go on a hunger strike and then going, until I'm hungry and then I'll eat. Like I believe in global warming and I'm going to go on a hunger strike until we do something again to fix global warming, until I'm starving. Then I'm going to break it and eat, but then I'll be right. Like, Lamar Jackson was willing to stand on a soapbox, but he realized he only could stand on the soapbox for so long until his personal circumstances were changing, right? Like, we wanted to present Lamar Jackson as a guy that was, he was fighting for the larger cause. He was the guy that was willing to be the second guy that's going to get the guaranteed contract. Because remember, we said this, first is an outlier, second is the trend, right? So you need somebody to be the second. If you can get to be the second, then it ruins the, hey, they're nuts over there. Like, what they did was crazy. We're never doing that. But if the Ravens had came down and gave him a fully guaranteed contract, then other teams would be like, well, that's what every agent's going to be. My phone is ringing off the hook now. Every agent is going to want a fully guaranteed guy for their deal for their guy now. But he only stood on that soapbox until he was hungry. He only went with the strike until he was hungry. And what it was, the clock was ticking. Nobody was reaching out saying, hey, we'll trade for you. Because the Ravens were like, we'll just match any offer that comes your way, my man. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then he went, all right, let's work on a deal. And they got a huge deal. He got a huge deal. A lot of money guaranteed, but not fully guaranteed. But in the end, he made a boatload of money, and that was it. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio as we continue.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're wrapping up the show. Lombardi Line's coming up next on Sports Map Radio. Hope you all have a very good weekend. Game 4 again tonight in the NBA. Game 4 in the NHL will be on Saturday in South Florida. So back-to-back games in South Florida. And again, as we mentioned, Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. Miami is becoming the hotbed of the sports world. Marlins are actually pretty good this year. They've got a guy in Luis Arise that is batting 400.
Yep.
If that's not worth the $3 to go in to go into a Marlins game, yeah, exactly. Go see Luis Arise for $4 and buy one get 20 free at the Miami Marlins games this
year. Did you hear about also the other thing that happened with Inter Miami?
Which is what?
5 million new Twitter followers in 24 hours.
No kidding. Okay, by the way, I've signed Ronaldo to be part of Team Tony. If you all want to follow me on Twitter for the latest.
Ronaldo.
5 million? Yeah, I'll take anybody. Give me anybody. Give me who is the guy in England? Harry Kane. Is
Harry
he still
Kane.
Kicking around?
He's still kicking around.
All right, who's the other one? Is Rooney? Is Wayne Rooney still
no,
doing
he's,
a thing?
He's retired. He's
done? I'll take anybody. Anybody that can get me 5 million Twitter followers, they can sign up for Team Tony. Yeah, so I will take any international soccer star if they can get me 5 million new Twitter followers in a 24-hour period.
And apparently, Lionel Messi's wife is taking a lot of heat from Saudi Arabian fans
or people in
Saudi Arabia because, you know, the comments of her not wanting to raise her kids there or have them go to school there.
Yeah, that's, you know,
the primary reason why Messi turned down $1.6 billion.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the primary reason. I think that's definitely an influential reason. But through Inter Miami, he's going to get a chance to be part owner of the club.
Absolutely, part owner of the club. He gets the streaming deals. He's hitting a whole bunch of new fans that probably are going to now fall in love with him.
It's great reasons to be part of it.
Yeah, and. And you know what? Like you said, I think you said it perfectly. I think you did the best reason. He's 35. He's playing on a level where he's still going to be competitive, but he's not going to be facing a 21-year-old megastar.
He'll look late 20s, early 30s.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's still prime Messi. His Ballon d'Or days are done.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. He might win one more this year, and then that's it.
You get a lot of money. You get to play in the United States. Not great place to live, especially when you have money. The U.S. is a great place to live when you're rich.
There's got to be something to it in Florida that you can go buy a house. You're not paying any property taxes, so you can make that thing as large as and elaborate as you want.
Yeah. Well, you pay property tax.
Well,
you don't pay.
Tax, you don't pay,
there's no state income
tax.
Yeah. So but still, it's fantastic. Good for him. That's awesome. So, and let's not forget, so we just mentioned, and the Dolphins, because Philip reminded us on Twitter, go ahead and let the Dolphins bring in a cook into their kitchen. They'll roast the AFC. I agree. I think if Dalvin Cook is on the Dolphins, we might have a new leader in the clubhouse in the AFC East.
You could extend it to the AFC.
You could extend it to the AFC. Why not?
Yeah. And the only issue you got to keep going back to, healthy Tua.
That's right. Healthy Tua. Apparently, he's testing out a new helmet.
Is he getting the air-conditioned helmet that LSU has?
Do they get the air-conditioned helmet? How about that?
I don't know. Because I don't. Who is it? Mike White? Was that the guy up in who's the Jets? Now is not Mike White.
No, yeah. Mike White was. Yeah. Didn't he play? Is he on Miami?
Is that
Mike White?
No, is that the guy who went down there?
I think so.
From the Jets?
Thompson was the guy who played in the playoff game against Buffalo.
Skylar
Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we breaking down the depth chart of the quarterback situation in Miami?
Well, I'm just saying.
So here it is. Tua Tagovailoa, Mike White, Skylar Thompson, and James Blackman. They are the four quarterbacks for the Miami Dolphins.
The four horsemen.
The four horsemen.
What I wanted to get at, I don't think Mike White is leading you to AFC prominence.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think he's a good placeholder.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and again, Mostert. Then you look on defense and the players that they've got. Bradley Chubb, Xavien Howard, right? Jalen Ramsey. God, that team is loaded. Yeah, so there you go. And if they get Dalvin Cook, it's another leader in the clubhouse. So Miami becoming a hot spot for sports. So I got a cousin who lives down there, and I was going to reach out to her and say, are you guys, because I know she's got sons. You know, in two sons. And I'm like, are they into this? Like, you just moved there from New York. Are they catching a little heat fever, Panther fever? Are you guys going to go to Inter Milan games?
Yeah, Inter Miami.
Inter Miami, Inter Milan, stupid. Yeah. Inter Miami games,
I'd
like
go
you
to
get, are you gonna,
in a second.
Are you going? Are you engaged in the sports? I mean, they're sports fans. I don't know if the kids are clinging to their New York thing. They're young, but I'm like, are you catching a fever down there? Because it's fantastic. It's a good time. It's a good time. So we'll catch those games coming up this weekend. So we're at that point. Next week is the U.S. Open at the Los Angeles Golf Club.
Yeah,
they are returning to L.A.
I mean, golf just kind of, I don't want to say golf took over June, but I almost feel like golf took over June.
Yeah, we're already, and it's only the ninth.
I mean, they definitely dominated the headlines this week.
So Max Homa told a really good joke. Now, it wasn't a joke, but it was a statement that was funny. I shouldn't say joke. Joke's like two guys walk into a bar, but he said something that was funny. He goes, I anticipate the following at media day for the U.S. Open. Hey, Max, you're a Southern California kid. Two-part question. What's it like to be playing in a major in your home city, a place like the Los Angeles Country Club that is so historic and renowned, and it's now part of the major rotation? And part two, what do you make of Liv and Pete in the PGA Tour coming together?
Like, being a resident of L.A., what do you make of PGA?
Being a resident of L.A., what do you make of the PGA Tour and Liv coming together? And I thought that was he meant it kind of, you know, funny, but I thought it was very funny because it's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to go off on, you know, when I was a kid playing in Southern California, you know, with Tiger's influence and just some of the good golfers here, blah, 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 blah. Can you get to part two, please?
Yeah, that's what we really care about.
We only did the first part as a courtesy to just get your initial ball rolling with what it's
rolling.
Like to be a Southern Cal kid playing a major
maybe,
in L.A.
Maybe soften you up a little bit.
Yeah, but really, if you could get to the point, the meat of the matter, which is the merger between the two, if you wouldn't mind, can you get to that?
I mean, that's everyone's question. That's why I was bringing up the one guy chasing what I don't even know who this kid is. And, you know, he basically came straight out and was like, you know, they media started asking him, like, you know, when did you first, or, you know, did you know about this? And he's like, man, I knew about it the same time you guys did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, honestly. And that's why I saw the article about Full Swing. I can't wait.
I think that
that's going to be riveting television.
I hate to say this. I think there is a hierarchy, right? And I mean it. Like, if you're Jay Monahan, you can't tell everybody at the same time, but there were golfers you should have told.
Yes.
Right? Like, look, if you're 130th on the PGA Tour, you're probably not getting a text message from Jay Monahan. But he absolutely should have told Rory, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa.
Yes.
He absolutely owed it to those guys before anything was released by both parties. Yeah, if I'm Sam Herbert, I'm probably not getting a text message. But for Justin Thomas to not know about, for Rory McIlroy to get blindsided by this.
I think Jason Day was on that list.
Like there should have been 20 people that Jay Monahan said, before you release any of this, I got to personally call every one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, give me their numbers.
At least shoot them a text.
Text or something.
Like a personal text from your phone.
Right. Or say, guys, I know you're all committed to something, but tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, I'm having a Zoom call for a very, very, very important announcement.
Yeah.
You might want to change plans. You might want to skip out on a dinner. This is extremely important. Get with your people to arrange it so you're part of this at this time, or you're missing out. But I want to. So that way, even if the guy says, hey, man, I'm at a charity dinner for Special Olympics, I can't go. Right. At least you say, well, at least I told you that there was a meeting that you had to be a part of.
Something was on the horizon.
Right. So that way you can't come back and say, I can't believe you didn't tell me. I was trying to tell you. You made a decision to stay at this event.
You could say that.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, people, you know, then I can come back and go, hey, I reached out to you. You weren't available.
I reached out to you. So
I couldn't share the news at that moment.
There you go. So you're like everybody else. And so I picked 20 people that I felt like needed to know based on your history of being outspoken about this. And
it literally was no one. It was It was keeping the secret was more important than letting people know. It's like almost like you were ashamed to share the story.
Exactly. That'd be like Rory McIlroy calling me up and going, "Hey, man, I hear your kid is dropping out of Florida." What? You heard that the same? Like literally, I should not know something like that before Rory McIlroy found out. That's insane. Best part of the story.